It's been a long time since we had to memorize names in Bible college. And, you know, how many of you hear Moses' mother's name mentioned very often? Most of us don't, right? So we're going to pray as we go into this message this morning. And once again, welcome all to all of our friends and guests, and welcome to all of those who are listening online. And if at any time you want the message outline, it is always posted on our website prior to Sunday morning service, so you can download that outline and print it off. And also, if you're on our email list, it gets emailed out to you on Saturday. So there is access to the notes. And so most of you know I like to teach with notes because I like for people to have that information in front of them so you can take it home and study it for yourself. You know, the scripture says for you to study to show yourself approved. And so each one of us have that responsibility. And so the teaching resources are available to you. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for every person that you have brought here today. And thank you, Father, for this awesome opportunity to look into the Word and to learn about Moses' mother. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you give us what each one of us needs from this teaching today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's been said, if God wants to do a great work, he'll choose a man. If he wants to do an extraordinary great work, he'll choose a woman. Hallelujah. And so there are some really extraordinary women that we find in the scripture. Can someone say amen to that? Amen. Amen. So we're going to go to Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, chapter 1, we see that the king of Egypt is really jealous and afraid of the Hebrews because he could see God's blessing upon them. And they were continually multiplying. And so he was feeling threatened by this race. And so let's take a look in verses 8 through 10. And for those of you who are guests this morning, we like to read the scriptures together here at the River of Life. So let's read this together, Exodus 1, 8 to 10. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, "Look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen in the event of war that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land." So let's read the next verse, Exodus 1, 12 to 14. "But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor." In other words, the king assigned taskmasters over the children of Israel, and they made their work very, very difficult for them. And they purposely did that because the king thought if he made it really hard for them, then they would stop multiplying. So this is what happened. There were two God-fearing women. The king didn't know they were God-fearing women when he called them to him. He simply called them to him because they were midwives. And this was his plan. So let's read that in verses 15 to 17. "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives." Are we there? Okay, let's read. "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When you do your duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king had summoned these two women, and what happened was they didn't kill the male children. Well, the king got wind of that, so he called them to him again, and he asked them, why? Why are you not killing the male children? And they replied to him and said, well, you see, the Hebrew women are a little livelier than the Egyptian women, and before we get to them, they have already delivered their babies. And so I don't know if that's true or if these gals feared God so much that they lied to the king because they didn't want to be accountable, but we don't know, but it worked. Tell somebody it worked. And so the male children were able to live because these two women wouldn't carry forward with the king's decree because they feared God. You know, the scripture says we ought to obey God rather than man. And if someone is asking you to do something that is contrary to the will of God or opposes the word of God, the answer is no. It's no. We're not going to do that. But it's interesting. I thought this was interesting. It shows once again how a political spirit will come into a government and will kill the children. We see it all through history where governing rulers will allow this political spirit. I say it's a political spirit. It is from the demonic realm because the political spirit, just a little definition, opposes anything that God wants. And so it will come in and it will take the lives of the people who are in God's plan and doing God's will. And this is exactly, and we know from history that the Jews, many, many people have tried to wipe out the Jewish race. So we look at this. They were in horrible condition. They were slaves. So we're going to take a look at Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses. And the story of Israel and their release from Egypt really begins with a mother, not Moses. And the mother of Moses was Jochebed. And Jochebed, her name implies glory of Jehovah. Our Jehovah is her or our glory. So Jochebed is the first person in the scripture to have a name compounded with Yah, our Jehovah. So the announcement of Jehovah, the name of God, at the burning bush, when God revealed himself to Moses, had already been revealed and presented in his mother's name. So we're going to read on here in Exodus 1, 22, 2 through 4. And the scripture says, so Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And so before we go on, so the king decided to ask the people then to kill their own children, rather than depending upon the midwives to do it. He commanded them to throw the male children into the river to the crocodiles. So by all human standards, Moses never had a chance. Not only was he born to a slave, Jochebed was a slave, but there was already a death sentence on him. If he would have been a girl, he would have been allowed to live. But as a boy, he had no life expectancy. Moses was a Hebrew, and he was born in a cruel culture of ancient Egypt, where Pharaoh had declared that all the Hebrew boys were to be exterminated. And Pharaoh's not the only one that's come from a long line of, let's call them lunatics, who think that they can exterminate the Jews, the people of God. It has always been Satan's passion to exterminate the Jewish race. He knew that through them would come the Savior of the world. So he used men and women throughout history to reach his goal. And that is how Satan, the enemy of God's people, operates. He uses men and women, he uses human beings to reach his goal. It is the old, old story of hatred, murder, persecution of unreasonable men and women. It was in this very situation that Moses was born. So let's read on in verse 2. And a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and born a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. But you see, there was one roadblock that stymied Pharaoh's plan. And that was a determined mother named Jochebed. She was not going to follow the king's orders. She was determined to save her child. You know, everyone else was bowing to the new order, but she would not submit because no one was going to lay hands on her God-given child. Come on, moms, you know how it is when it comes to your children. Children are a gift from the Lord. They're our inheritance. We're to watch over them. We're to protect them. And that was the heart of Moses' mother. I am going to save this child. And she was a God-fearing woman. She knew the word of God that was available at that time. So I believe only in eternity will it show the greatness of Moses' mother. Her courage saved a nation. Her child was Moses, the great deliverer of Israel. And did you know Moses was her third child? Her firstborn was Aaron. And he later became the high priest. And from his family came the entire priest line that would serve in the temple. Her second child was Miriam. She was Moses' big sister, and she looked after him. And she intimately associated with her brothers in Israel's history. She's mentioned many times, the three of them together. These three kids, Jochebed's children, each had a great call and anointing and position from the Lord. Miriam was a gifted prophetess. She was a poet and she was a musician as well. She determined in her heart to stand firm against the evils of her world and the forces that wanted to destroy her son and Jewish nation. And remember, she herself was raised in slavery. And she would foil the plans of Pharaoh. Now her husband's name was Amram, and he was also a Levi. And they really couldn't have picked a worse time to become pregnant. And I'm sure she did all she could to try and hide that pregnancy. And when the baby is born, the scripture said she sees how beautiful he is. And what mother doesn't think their baby's beautiful? Right? For days she wondered how to hide him and save his life. And then she built the basket and she put him into the river. And she had big sister watch over him. It's good to have some big sisters, right? Yeah, give a hand to all the big sisters. And this verse is not on the PowerPoint, but you know, Pharaoh's daughter came down to the water, and her handmaidens were walking along the water's edge, and they saw this basket. And they went and got it, and they took it to Pharaoh's daughter. And big sister was standing right there watching. Big sisters can get in your business, right? Yeah. I love being a big sister. Not that I love to get in somebody's business, but you know, when you're the older one of the siblings, you know? Yeah. Mom leaves you with some responsibilities, doesn't she? But in verses 7 and 8 in that same chapter, the scripture says, she was watching this whole thing unfold, and Pharaoh's daughter looking at the child, and the child cried, and you know, that nurturing compassion of Pharaoh's daughter just came out, and I'm sure God had a whole lot to do with that he connected her immediately with that child, because see, this was God's plan all along. I just want to encourage you, Mom, God has all the details for your child. And so you follow the Lord, you serve the Lord, you seek the Lord, you do what God is asking you to do for your child, and God takes care of the rest. Jochebed did not know what was going to happen when she put him in that basket. But God did, and she trusted God with her child. And so then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" You know, what a great idea. She knew the perfect person to nurse that child. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mom. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. So not only did she get to take care of her child and nurse him, she got paid to do it. I mean, that's just God, isn't it? He really sets you up. Woo! So the very thing she wanted to do, she got to do. And she taught Moses to fear the Lord. She taught Moses that God is a covenant God. And she implanted into Moses what nobody else could put there. Moms, God has called you to impart and teach your children like nobody else can teach them. Hallelujah. We see from the fruit of her labor with her children, what an amazing job she did with Aaron and Miriam and Moses. My. And so we're going to go take a look in the New Testament, because the New Testament talks about this story also. In Hebrews 11, 23 to 29. Let's read this together. "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." And one more passage. "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of God." What do we have? Next verse. Is it stuck? I'll read then. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so, and they were drowned. So just taking a look at this passage, we see a striking picture of Moses. Moses made several difficult decisions while leading the children of Israel. But think of the difficult decisions that he made prior to leading them out of captivity. You know, he chose to be a slave instead of a son of Pharaoh. He had a life set for him. He could have had anything that he wanted, but he didn't want that because he understood who God was. And material things and wealth and fame is not everything, church. So he chose to be a slave. He chose to suffer with people rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. And by faith, he did many things. So how could he have such great faith? Well, it was Jochebed. She greatly influenced him. Remember, her name means the glory of Jehovah. Jehovah is her glory. Jochebed is considered one of the greatest women ever. And why is she considered so great? Because she was a mother to her children. The greatest thing you can do is to be in this life is a mother to your children. She loved them, she protected them, and she taught them about her God. And she lived, I'm sure, by example. She taught Moses to be brave and to risk his life in order to save his brothers, just as she and Miriam had done by disobeying Pharaoh's order. There's no more permanent or precious impression on our souls than the sacrifice of our mother's love. And because of that imprint that Jochebed left on Moses, we see, number one, she taught Moses that God is good. In the face of crushing and depressing circumstances, she was convinced God is good. You know, it's easy to say God is good when everything's going your way. Or you get that promotion, or you get a pay raise, or something great happens to you. But can you say God is good when things are reversed? Can you really release and trust it to God? When we trust God, that God is good, he helps us make the right decisions. And when we trust that God is good, we can release everything into his care. There are times in our lives when we have to recognize that we have done all we can, said all we can, given all we can, and at that point, we've got to release it and trust God. And knowing that when you release your child, your family, your finances, your health to God, not everything's going to be perfect. Not all babies are going to survive. Not all families are going to be restored. Not all the finances are going to come back to you. And not all the marriages are going to be restored. Is that true? I'm just talking truth this morning. However, in the midst of that, God is still good. And God will be glorified by the way he works in your life. God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. You know, you can't think of a more difficult or dangerous time for Jochebed to declare God's goodness. It was really dark days for the people of Israel. They were enslaved by the fearful king. They were being forced to kill their children. They were being forced to kill the future of their people. Yet I believe that through her actions and affection for Moses, she taught him the goodness of God. And that's why Moses could make the choices that he made. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." Jochebed knew this verse and she knew what it meant. And when she birthed Moses, she connected this baby boy to God's goodness. The word for good is the Hebrew word tob, and it means beautiful, best, better, bountiful, precious, prosperity, well-favored. Jochebed, when she saw her baby, remember she said, "He is beautiful." She connected him to the goodness of God. And she saw the goodness of God in Moses. Moms can see what other people can't see in their children. Moms have a heart to never give up on their kids. They can be in all kinds of trouble. Everybody abandoned them, but moms are still there fighting on their behalf. Because you know what is on the inside of them. You know what God wants to do with their life. You know that they can change and things can become different. And moms just don't give up. At least they shouldn't give up. Not when we serve the God that we serve. When we commit our children into His hands, God works all things together for good. Not every single thing is good that God is working together, but when you look at the whole picture, you know, people with a pessimistic view and a negative view, they'll look at one thing that's negative and it just discolors the whole picture and they just can't move on. But you see, God makes all things beautiful in His time. He makes all things beautiful. The things, even the negative things and the hard times we've gone through, God works that all together for good. Hallelujah. You know, God is good even when we don't get a good diagnosis from the doctor. God is good. He's good when we get a promotion. He's good when our favorite team scores, wins the game. But is He just that good when someone passes from this life that we love? Is He just that good when you're standing in the unemployment line? Is He just that good when you're standing in the food line? Yes, He is. In the midst of those difficult times, God works all things together for good. I always share with people I wouldn't trade the way I grew up for anything. Because we went through some really hard times. Some difficult times. We were poor. We were very poor. But we had everything we needed. Because we had a mother that trusted God. She couldn't meet our needs, but she knew God could. So He works it all together for good. And it all just depends upon how you look at that. You could say, "Oh, I didn't have nothing growing up. Had one pair of shoes, one dress for Sunday school. Taped up our boots." But God. He gives us everything we need. Not everything we want. Smile at somebody. Hallelujah. So Jochebed also taught Moses that God is a covenant-keeping God. And so Moses chose Israel. Jochebed taught Moses about the promises of God, the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to make them a great nation and bless all others through them. And Moses was basing his choice on the character of God. He was not basing his choice on his circumstances. We get caught up in making our choices based upon our circumstances and emotions rather than making our decisions based upon the character of our Lord God Almighty. You can just imagine how she taught them. Malachi 3:6 says, read it with me. Is it up there? All right, I'll read it. Malachi 3:6. Because I, Yahweh, have not changed, you descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed. Because God is a covenant-keeping God, they were not destroyed. Because God keeps His word. Tell somebody God's faithful. The next scripture that's on the PowerPoint is Numbers 23:19. And it says, God is not a man who lies, or a son of man who changes his mind. Does he speak and not act, or promise and not fulfill, or has he spoken and will he not make it good? So Jochebed taught Moses that faith is really trusting God's promises. Faith is trusting the promises that God has given to us. Faith means seeking God's promises, obeying God and His principles, no matter what the circumstances are, in spite of any consequences. You know, by refusing to be called Pharaoh's son, Moses risked suffering alienation from his adoptive family. But that's okay, because we're supposed to be aliens and strangers in this world. And by refusing to be called Pharaoh's son, Moses suffered the loss of honor, pleasure, and wealth. But he chose instead, the scripture told us in Hebrew, to suffer with the people of God. For his eyes were on the reward. There's not only a great reward for you as moms or dads, there is also a great assignment for you. I assume that is what every Christian parent wants. I've talked to many of them over the years, and most Christian parents say, I want my child, my daughter, my son to grow up and love God and serve God. How many in here have said that? Psalm 127 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. They're the fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And one translator says, you can translate the word heritage into assignment. Children are an assignment from the Lord. See, you thought you'd grow up, get married, have kids, and your homework was done. Woohoo! Oh no, the real homework is in the home. Homework. You do the work in the lives of those children. They're your assignment. And he says they're like arrows in the hand of a warrior. That terminology assumes that that child is one day going to be launched. And it presupposes that you know what the target is. And it assumes you've arrived at the target first so you can live it out in front of your children. Children will do what you do. And children must be prepared with the promises of God. Jesus gave us a promise of judgment for those who reject Him and a promise of salvation for those who will receive him. You know, if your children are prepared to face the world we live in, that's a beautiful thing. And they will be if they understand God is good and God is for him. God has a plan for them. But I remember hearing a story about a family who brought their child to church. And they also had a little baby. And today's dedication Sunday. And so they were getting their baby dedicated. And their son came up with them. And after the church service, they were driving home. And the baby had been dedicated. And the oldest son, Johnny, was sitting in the back seat. And he was crying and wailing. And he was just carrying on. And finally, his mother said, "Johnny, what in the world is wrong with you?" And Johnny said, "It's that pastor. That pastor said that he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys." If you want your children to thrive and not just survive in this world, teach them to trust the goodness of God and live it out in your life, in your home. Make decisions based on God's character, not circumstances. Teach them to believe and respond to the promises of God. So just two final thoughts in closing about Jochebed. She had two great qualities. And first, the first one is she had great respect for human life. She was not going to participate in killing her own children. She had an overpowering love to preserve the lives of her children, as well as the midwives that refused to kill the little boys. Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing. And the second thing was she had a great respect for spiritual life. Moses refused to be an Egyptian prince. A testimony of the spiritual truths he learned from his mother. He was not going to serve in the grandeur of Egypt, even though he had the education and the wealth. He was positioned to be a ruler in Egypt, and he chose not to because of the spiritual truths that he learned from his mother. Scripture tells us that Moses was not willing to put aside the spiritual base built by his real mom. Hallelujah. You know, Paul talked to Timothy about he was where he was at in the faith because of his mom and his grandmother. And he encouraged him, "God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind." So on this Mother's Day, just think about your assignment, moms. And never underestimate the power of God that is given to mothers. Never shrink from your responsibility in letting God shine through your life into the hearts of your children and your husband. You may be thinking, "But you don't know my situation." And that's true. I don't know all your situations. But I know what Jochebed's situation was. So unless you're living in slavery and your child's under a death threat and you're penniless and have no future promise to you other than what God's given to you, you're not as bad off as Jochebed was. So Jochebed overcame all the obstacles with God's help. And I want to encourage you, you can too. And Jochebed served the same God that we serve today because he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word that's gone forward. I thank you for every mother here today and those listening. I pray, Lord, that their hearts are encouraged today, knowing, Lord, that you are with them and you are fighting for them, Lord. And Father, that you have a plan for every one of their children, regardless of where their relationship is now, regardless of how old they are or young for them. Lord, I pray for your wisdom and revelation to rest upon these moms, upon these households, upon these fathers, Lord, that they will launch their children, Lord, that they will fulfill their assignment, Lord. And Father, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, that you give us every detail that we need to have. And so for those of you who need all the details, you just need to know God is on a need-to-know basis. When you need to know the detail, he'll let you know it. But he doesn't give it to you ahead of time. Have you noticed that? Doesn't matter how many times you ask him. But you know, this is how we learn to rest in the Lord. And all of us continue to learn how to rest in God, in our personal lives, in our families, in our marriages, in raising our children. Amen. We can count on the Lord. And he's got great big arms to rest in.